is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is wonderful to be with you, and we're just glad to be presenting a brand new series starting today of messages. And, you know, this is one of the most vital series that you can imagine, because we're going to be talking about the one who's made it possible for us to be here. And that means this radio program to be here and you to be in this world alive. And I'm talking about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people have some very strange ideas about Jesus and who he is. But, you know, if you want to know of the biography of Jesus, in fact, listen to me, it's actually an autobiography because he wrote it himself. Just go to the Bible. Now, it doesn't tell everything about Jesus Christ, because that would take, as the Bible says itself, many, many books. But I'm telling you, all you have to do is read the Gospels and you know, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and your life will be changed. You know, many people have asked me, how, Tex, can I get a loved one out of a religious cult? Do you have information on this cult or that cult? I always tell them, well, now, if you're really serious about helping your loved one escape from this cult group, then you need to help them to know Jesus Christ. And then they won't even consider the lies and the false teachings of the cult leader. So, you know, whether you're entrapped in the Reverend Moon's cult or Hare Krishna or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter. Listen, the way to get out of that cult is to come to Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit teach you all things. And I always recommend that a person read the Gospels. Begin with Matthew, which is the first in the New Testament. And I really believe if you're a called person and you ask God to guide your understanding, by the time you even finish the first Gospel, you'll accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Somebody wrote to me recently and wanted me to send material on Islam, the religion of Islam, to a prisoner. And they said, please send it fast. He's only got 10 days to live. He's on death row. Send literature. Tell him that Islam is a false religion. Do it fast. And you know what? I chose not to send him one thing about Islam being a false religion. I have material on that. I decided not to. I sent him information about Jesus Christ, and I begged him to read the Gospels, and then he would know the truth. You see, that's how you know the counterfeit, because you find out about the truth. Once you've discovered the truth, the counterfeits just drop off, my friends. Have you ever bought a product, you said it's just as good as this other product, but it costs less? You thought it was going to be okay, but you got it, and I'm telling you, it was some adulterated with some kind of nonsense ingredients. And boy, you said, man, I'm going to go back to the original brand. I'm going to go back to the real thing. I've done that quite a bit. My elderly mother, some friend told her, you know, you can go and order pharmaceuticals from Canada, and they're a lot cheaper than American pharmaceuticals. She thought that was a great bargain. Same company, same name, everything. Just go to Canada and get these. She said it was only about half the price of American drugstores. Well, first of all, that is a terrible problem. Shows the drug companies are cheating people, but in more ways than one. My mother got her prescriptions filled from some Canadian pharmacy and they by mail order. And when she got them, she found out they didn't have any power. They didn't have any effectiveness. She began to get ill. It didn't work. Now, I'm not saying that every pharmacy in Canada is crooked like that. And a lot of people are saying they've saved a lot of money by going to Canada because the drugs there are so much cheaper, the prescription drugs. I'm not trying to blast all of them. I'm just simply saying my mother, the store she went to, is not the same thing. You get a pill that's supposed to keep your blood pressure down, but it didn't work. So no amount of savings was worth getting junk. Friends, this man had a short time to live. I could care less telling him about Muhammad and Allah and the Quran, the false Bible. I wanted to tell him about the real thing. I was hoping that he would read the real book of books, the Bible. Now, there are a lot of false Jesuses out there, and many of them are just politically incorrect. Or, excuse me, correct. A lot of people want you to believe that in this false Jesus. You know, the Jesus, for example, that loves everybody unconditionally, and he's tolerant, and he doesn't want anyone to change. Well, if you're a Buddhist, just become a better Buddhist. If you're a Muslim, just be a better Muslim. That's all he wants you to do. Well, I've never found that Jesus in the Bible. I've looked, but I can't find him. Or the Jesus that loves everybody so much, he's non-judgmental. He says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And he practices it. He doesn't want you to judge. He wants you to accept everybody. They're sinners. Don't try to change them. Just love them as they are. Why? That they don't believe in the true God? That's okay. As long as they're sincere in what they do believe. He loves them. But they're cheats, they're frauds, even in the church. They're ripping off people. They're more interested in money than preaching the truth. Well, don't be so judgmental, my friend. Who are you to judge a man in the pulpit? But I haven't been able to find that Jesus in the Bible. Oh, there's so many Jesuses. I just don't even recognize them when I go to the Bible. But I love the Jesus I find in the Bible. He does love people. He died on the cross for you and for me and for every person on this planet. But he doesn't love sin. And he doesn't, you know, it's not unconditional love. He's got conditions. There are conditions. In fact, he says, if you're going to follow me, count the cost. Did you know you need to count the cost? You say, well, I thought that salvation was free. Oh, you've got it all wrong, friends. It cost a horrible price for your salvation. A horrible price. Oh, you didn't have to pay it, though. You and I got off really cheap. But somebody paid it on the cross. They paid a price. You maybe got a free gift, but it was still paid for by someone else. You say, I don't know what you're talking about, Texas Morse. That's why you need to go read the book. And today, we're going to start a series that tells you about the real Jesus. He's not some mysterious figure, some hazy, nebulous higher power at all. He's a real person. He has a personality. And he has things that he requires of you. And you better count the cost, my friend. It might cost you your life. Did you hear what I just said? If you believe in what Jesus tells you to do, it could cost you your very life. Then he himself said, that's not a bad idea to lose your life. Because there are certain incredible gifts that you can obtain by giving up your life and becoming an entirely new person.
oh, this Jesus is mysterious in many ways because he doesn't think the way the world thinks. Many in the Christian world today believe that if you give money into a certain ministry, such as Bible Home Church, well, God will reward you and just make you wealthy. But, of course, that's that other Jesus, not the Jesus that I'm going to be telling you about. Because he got all the money he needs anyway. He may require you to give, and you may get nothing back of a monetary nature. So if you believe in this other Jesus, you may be sending all your money to ministries for nothing. And if you send money to this ministry, Bible Home Church, expecting that you're going to get some monetary gain back, well, don't send it, my friends. You could be wasting your time and your money. Send it to one of those other ministries that promise you you'll be rich. Don't send it to me. But I will tell you this, if in faithfulness you send to this ministry for God's work without expecting anything in return, God could surprise you. There may be many things he will give you, but I'm not going to commit him. I cannot commit God to what he's going to give you. But I know this much. God has rewarded me in many ways other than finances. And I would gladly give up all my finances. Everything that I own, I would give up for certain treasures that God has that are worth more than everything I own. I'm talking in riddles, aren't I? Well, we're going to have to get to and start this series. Well, you may just want to write to me and tell me you don't agree with me. But then that would be your problem because I just used the Bible here. You don't really have a problem with me at all. You just don't like what God said. It doesn't go along with your personal philosophy of life or your own interpretation. I never did like interpretations very much. I sort of like just going to the source. That's what we're going to ask. We're going to say, what did Jesus say? What did he do? And what about this other Jesus, who's quite a character, by the way? Well, you can write to us. Love to hear from you. And yes, we do covet and appreciate your love gifts to this ministry. We'd love to have you be a member of our congregation at large, even if you're in Toledo, Ohio, or Southfield, Michigan, or Orlando, Florida. You can be a member of our congregation. Just write us and tell us by profession of faith. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I've been saved. And we'll be glad to allow you to be a member of our congregation. In fact, I wouldn't dare try to keep you out of being a member of our congregation. Glad to have you. Now, write to us if you need prayer. I would love to pray for you. Whatever your needs are, God has the riches in abundance. He has more than you need. You may actually get more than you pray for, friends. And we will pray for you. And of course, it would be very wonderful if you would pray for us, that we can keep this message going across the world to so very, very many. Now we're going to have some beautiful music before we begin our message for today. And the cathedrals always have beautiful music. Now, this is some toe-tapping stuff. Now, you may not like this. You may want to turn off the radio for a couple minutes. But I've liked this song for a long time. Makes you feel good because, my friends, it's going to tell you where you're going if you know Jesus Christ as Lord. And you probably heard it. It used to be on the radio many years ago. This is an old, old one. But I like the old ones. Do you? I'd like to hear from you. What kind of music do you like? Now, if you like some kind of a rock music, you got the wrong place. But if there's some beautiful music you want us to play, you might want to send us an album. I especially like Southern Gospel quartets and so forth. And we appreciate people sending us music. Now, I can't guarantee we'll use it. But if you have some album and you have an extra album around and you want to go buy us an album because you'd like to hear it played on Bible Home Church, we'd love to have it. And we'll listen to it, and if we agree with you, this beautiful music, or we can get it into our weekly program, well, we'll just play your song right here on Bible Home Church. This old house, that's what the cathedral sang about. And they're ready to go on. Now, this old house is just getting old, and it's just not useful anymore. Well, I sort of feel the same way. Let's see if you do. Here are the Cathedrals singing "This Old House."
This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house wore the rank of the left through. This old house heard many shouts. And now she trembles in the darkness when the night wind walks about. Ain't they gonna leave this house no longer? Ain't they gonna leave this house no more?
Ain't got time to single. Ain't got time to
face the floor.
Ain't got time to
go out of the
snow. Nor the
mental or into
pain.
Ain't they gonna leave this house no longer? I'm getting ready to stay.
This old house is getting old. This old house lives in the rain, and this old house lives in the cold. Off my knees I'm getting chilly, but I feel no fear of pain, cause I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. Ain't they gonna need this house no longer? Ain't they gonna need this house no more?
Ain't got time, ain't got time, ain't got time for the
dog lies asleep and he don't know I'm gonna leave, else he'd wake up by the fireplace and he'd sit down how free. But my hunting day's over, I ain't gonna hunt the coon no more. Gable hunts on in the chariot when the wind blew down the door. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. I ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the floor.
Ain't got time to
fix the floor.
Ain't got time to
I'm going to tell you about a man who, well, obviously, he's a very dangerous criminal. He's a person that, well, if we just follow federal government guidelines, he's somebody to be avoided at all cost. He's a dangerous man into all kinds of mischief. In fact, this Jesus, now this is the shocking truth, but I'm here to tell you he is extremely politically incorrect. Yes, this is a Jesus that the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Catholics and the Lutherans and Episcopals, it doesn't matter, none of them want you to know about. It's certainly a Jesus that Pope John Paul II doesn't know, nor does President George W. Bush. And I just feel like it's my responsibility to let you know about him. There's a possibility if you do believe and worship this Jesus, you could be worshiping the wrong man. And I just want to let you know that there is another Jesus. Now, I don't believe in this other Jesus myself. He's talked about in Galatians chapter 1. And Paul said, if you believe in him, you believe in a cursed Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul said there is another Jesus, but also another gospel. You see, the other gospel that's discussed in there in Corinthians and Galatians is cursed by God. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, I believe. In fact, I say, praise the Lord for this politically incorrect Jesus. He's the one I worship. And I guess that stamps me as a different kind of a character than most of the pastors of this world. In fact, I don't know but a small handful that believe like I do. That's right. I believe 100% in this politically incorrect Jesus, the one the world doesn't want to recognize, the one that they would love to crucify if he were to come again in the flesh. You say they wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would. I mean, when you find out what kind of man this really is, the whole world would want to get rid of him. In fact, Revelation says he's going to send two witnesses in the last days, and the whole world is going to be so angry they're going to kill his two witnesses, basically spit on and revile their bodies as they lie in the street of Jerusalem. And then the whole world, everybody in the world is going to turn around and give each other gifts, presents. There's going to be a world festival, a holiday to celebrate the killing, the murder of Jesus' two witnesses. Now, if they would do that to his two witnesses, can you imagine what they would do that to Jesus himself if he came back in the flesh? Even if they say, no, we wouldn't do that, why, we're all people of harmony and love and peace. Don't believe them. When they find out this Jesus, the real Jesus, is politically incorrect, they're going to want to kill him. And let me tell you something, if you go out there and tell people you believe in this politically incorrect Jesus that I'm going to describe to you in the moment, they might just want to kill you too. You better be careful. Now, I propose, though, if you really want to be a troublemaker, sort of like Jeremiah and Elijah and John the Baptist and so forth, you can tell people about this politically incorrect Jesus. In fact, I recommend you order a number of copies of this tape, not because I want to make any money from this program at all, but I want you to be able to have about a dozen copies of this. Give these audio tapes of this message today to some of your best friends. They'll go nuts when they discover the truth, the shocking truth about Jesus. They'll go out of their gourds. They won't believe it. They'll say, well, I never heard this. I've sat in the pulpit of my Presbyterian or Lutheran or Episcopal church or whatever for years. I've never heard about this man. But it's all right there. You see, most of the pastors don't go to this book I have in my hand called the Holy Bible. That's where it describes this politically incorrect Jesus. They just make up stories that aren't even true about him and preach little homilies to people. Well, I went to the actual source itself. I went to the book that this Jesus wrote. Jesus cannot deny. In fact, I know for certain he would never deny what he wrote in his book. So don't listen to the pastors. Don't listen to the televangelists. Let's find out what Jesus wrote. Now, I want to describe to you. I'm going to sort of take this kind of angle, but I'm sort of going to be like the devil's advocate. I'm going to sort of let you know what the world would have to say about this Jesus, this shockingly politically incorrect Jesus. You're going to find out what a big troublemaker and a monster he is, according to the world. You see, I believe if Jesus Christ came back in the flesh today and allowed it, because he's God, he obviously no one can overcome him, even temporarily, unless he allows it. But if he allowed it, he would be hounded, harassed, vilified, bullied, arrested, convicted, and no doubt crucified because he's so extremely politically incorrect. He would be in violation if he started up his ministry again and operated the way he did the first time. He would be in violation of environmental laws, public policy favoring homosexuals, IRS rules regarding tax-exempt religious groups, weapons laws. He'd be hated because of his bias against homosexuals and his preaching against pro-abortion child killers. He'd be arrested for violating mortuary regulations, for counterfeiting money, for harming animals, for defying wage waiver laws, for using public lands without a permit, for practicing medicine without a license, for producing wine without a permit, for minting his own money. He'd be branded an intolerant bigot, brought up on hate crimes, accused by the media of being anti-government, laughed at as a conspiracy theorist. He'd be labeled a potentially violent militia leader, charged as an illegal alien, and deemed a threat to families. And I hadn't even started yet. And I can document everything that I said. I have a special interest in this politically incorrect Jesus, you see, because my ministry has been vilified, hounded, harassed, and threatened for a number of years by the federal authorities and the others. We were audited for 4 years in a row by the IRS because we're politically incorrect. It ended up with us not owing 1 cent. I mean, all we had to spend was thousands of dollars for lawyers and attorneys, but and for accountants. But it ended up with the IRS not getting 1 cent from us and being forced to restore our tax-exempt status, which we promptly told them we didn't want anyway. Not after what they did, what they can do. We don't want to be tax exempt. We want to be politically incorrect.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.